Welcome to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith Podcast, your source for coverage, opinions, and coaching of underdog stuff in politics, culture, and personal life. Play it, subscribe to it, leave a review, and most importantly, enjoy it. Welcome to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do every week here at WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. And during the week, you can listen to the podcast on all the places you listen to podcasts. And you know what we do here every week is coverage, opinions, and coaching of underdog stuff in politics, culture, and personal life, which is, you know, the stuff we love to do. And to take you on that journey every week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, consultant, coach, and on-air personality, and sitting in the co-pilot chair, who I can actually call a co-host.
Oh, officially now?
Yeah, there was a reason why I never called you a co-host.
Yeah. But you... I was just someone helping out, you know?
Yeah, you know, you were here co-piloting.
Recurring guest, you know?
And we have Asha Davis.
Hi.
Who is an award-winning advertising executive. Mm-hmm. And comedy writer.
Yeah.
And proud Torontonian.
Canadian.
Yes, Canada in the house. And you can't see her yet or him yet because the Facebook Live is getting pulled up. But also in studio and part of the Underdog Stuff team, we have Kirsten Magwood, who is a TV producer and film director and host of a show called Best of the Best here on WHCR, which you should check out. And we also have Marlon, a.k.a. MDOT, in the building, holding it down on the ones and twos. And today's theme is one that the whole team is excited about. It's called Words with Friends.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite games ever, you know.
Is that because you were an English major?
Oh, do you remember? Yeah.
I figured you were like that. So I think we're going to like this theme so much, I'm going to call today's show Words with Friends Part 1.
Okay.
Just in case we decide to do a Words with Friends Part 2. And so today's show, as you can probably imagine, is we're going to take you through the words and phrases that best describe the week in politics, culture, and personal life.
Awesome.
Yes. And I apologize to all those folks who were tuned in at 1 o'clock on the dot. We appreciate you. We got off to a bit of a slow start. We're actually in a different studio today than we normally are.
Yeah, a little bit exciting. But one thing about this studio that's a bit different from the previous weeks is that this one, unfortunately, we can't take phone calls.
Yeah, so there's a reason why I didn't say my normal call in at 212-650-6903. That's still the number. The phone lines will be up for next week's show. However, you can still interact with us using Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, GregoryNeesmith, and you'll get to interact with myself, with Kirsten, and the whole Underdog team, Asha Davis, Marlon. We're about to bring it to you. Now, with that, today's show, Words with Friends. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Donald Jr.
Yeah.
And, you know, how maybe getting the hookup went wrong.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about babies.
Yeah. Oh, babies. Oh, yeah. There was a couple of famous babies this week.
Yes, there were just a few babies came out.
Yep.
We're also going to talk about the environment.
Finally, you didn't cut my climate change segment. I'm really excited about that.
No. I thought about it. but it's too important. So I was like, you know what? We're going to keep that. We're also going to talk about Betsy.
Oh, heavens to Betsy is what I say about that craziness. Yeah, that's some craziness that's going on this week.
Yeah, devastated is my new word.
Devastated.
Yes, it's my new.
The wordplay is impeccable this week.
I'm just trying to get us in the mood for Words with Friends.
Yeah.
And then also we'll talk a little Free 99.
Oh, is that what Jay-Z? Oh, no, he said 999 was what he was giving $1 million advice. Okay, Free 99.
Yeah, he's got 99 problems, but his new album ain't one.
Ain't one.
But with that, Free 99 meaning some unfinished business, talking about how folks can get access to some free services out there if they might need some support.
From a mental health standpoint.
Yes, mental health and also some other parts of life that we know underdogs are out there trying to go from underdog to on top.
Cool.
All right. So with that, we're going to dive on into the show.
Cool.
All right. Our first story, our first unavoidable story of the week. I think the word that I would use to describe this story would be cluster
blank, because we definitely got we got the rundown on words you can and cannot say on the FCC and cluster
pluck.
So cluster pluck. Okay, because the real one is not one of them.
No. So to help us get in the mood for this first story, we're going to play clip one. Kellyanne Conway actually is going to, it's almost like Sesame Street in a way. She's going to give us a little of her thoughts on the wordplay related to our first unavoidable story, which relates to Donald Trump Jr. Let's play Kellyanne and her words of choice for this first unavoidable story. Let's go to clip one.
Cool.
I just want to review in case you run out of time. This is how I see it so far. This is to help all the people at home. What's the conclusion? Collusion? No, we don't have that yet. I see illusion and delusion. So just so we're clear, everyone, four words. Conclusion, collusion, no. Illusion, delusion, yes. I just thought we'd have some fun with words. Sesame's Grover word of the day, perhaps, Sean, because you're absolutely right. To date, you know, they basically set out this Venus flytrap and thought one day we'll catch something 8 months later. And yet we really appreciate the fact that, you know, we being the American people, I have to say, appreciate the fact that Don Jr. released those emails, appeared on your show for all to see. You know, compare that to the hiding and the furtiveness that we saw during the last campaign by the other side.
There's a lot of conflicting ideas and opinions around that guy.
So welcome back to Underdog Stuff. And we had, that was Kellyanne Conway, collusion, delusion, a confusion. And actually, you might be able to tell there's some confusion going on even in the studio right now as we get used to being in a new environment. And we're moving stuff around, things like that. But we're still going to bring you Underdog Stuff like we always do. So that was Kellyanne. And she was talking about there's no collusion.
Yeah, and I, for those who have actually seen the video clip where she actually holds up pieces of paper that are showcasing these words, it's actually hilarious. And so what I wanted to say is I've got my own little wordplay to share with you guys today.
Oh, please do.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, you heard what Kellyanne said. So mine is confusion caused by Putin leads to more poo-pooing on the truth and more boom-booming out here in America.
There's a lot of boom-booming going on.
There's a lot of boom-booming, and not the good kind that goes on in the rooms. You know, the boom-boom room is one of my favorite places, but that's not the kind of boom-boom that's going on right now. Basically,
no, it's Sunday.
Confusion. Mr. Putin, a.k.a. Pootie Tang, wants to cause confusion right now so that basically, they can take over as one of the world powers, I personally think. Because this, I think, has been in the works for a very long time. You know that these countries have been not seeing eye to eye for a very long time.
Long time, since the Cold War.
Yeah, and if you guys remember that quote that Donald Trump had said before, where if you remember when he was on, when the collusion stuff first came out, remember when he was on that interview, and he actually said, do you guys think America is so innocent in all this?
Yeah.
You remember that?
I remember that. And folks went in on them. But yeah. I'm sure America has done some things, too, behind the scenes. Now,
exactly.
Just to remind people of this story, it started out like this.
Mm-hmm.
Psst. Yo, Donald, I got some info for you.
Yeah.
On Hillary.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was back in July or back in the summer of 2016 during the election. And someone reached out to Donald Trump Jr. going, yo, I got some info on Hillary. You want it?
Yeah.
And that's normally not a problem, right? Because everyone's trying to get dirt on the candidate they're going up against. But the person presented themselves as part of the Russian government. Hey, Donald Jr., I got something for you. And he actually took the meeting.
Exactly. He took the meeting. And not only did he take the meeting, but his father came out and said, pretty much anybody would have took that meeting.
Yeah, any Trump would have took the meeting.
Thank you for
actually,
that.
But at first, actually, only people who would have took the meeting were Paul Manafort, who was the campaign manager at the time, Jared I Can Do Anything in the World Kushner, and Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
That's what we first heard.
That's what we first heard.
And then now, supposedly, there were 8 people who would have took that meeting.
Oh, 8.
There were 8 people in the room. So now all of a sudden.
Oh, wow. Please enlighten me. 8 people in the room?
Yes. There's a translator. There's somebody else. So now all of a sudden, the meeting that was never mentioned, that they, my favorite legal word that I've learned over the past year now during this whole Russia investigation, speaking of words, recall.
I do not recall. I do not. I think Mr. Sessions has done a good job on that.
Like
one,
someone
yeah.
asked me, where were you last night? I do not recall.
I do not recall.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, a meeting that couldn't be recalled then had 3 people in it, and they only talked about adoptions.
Yeah.
And then now there were 8 people in the meeting, and yeah, they thought they were going to get the scoop on Hillary.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
It did not happen.
So it's a big cluster.
Pluck, as you said.
Yes. And we will continue to see how this unfolds. Now, for all those folks who are getting excited and they're thinking another word like impeachment.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
It was Donald Trump Jr., not Donald Trump in the meeting.
But Donald Trump seems to think that this is okay, so.
We shall see.
We shall see.
On to our next unavoidable story of the week.
Yep.
The word is family.
Family. Oh.
Yeah. How would you describe family?
The most important thing in the world.
Yes. And I would assume it includes things like your mother.
Father and grandmother and aunties and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters. I would say my grandmother is like probably one of the most important people in our family for sure.
Well, I don't think the law saw it that way.
Oh, you're talking about the travel ban.
Yes. Yes. So just so folks know, the travel ban said that if you didn't have close connections like family in the country, that you may not be able to come and go if you're from one of the 6 identified countries part of the travel ban.
Yeah.
And so this week, the update was that family got brought in to include other parts of what we all consider to be family.
Yeah.
Like grandmothers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, things like that.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that the government finally sees grandparents as family, because they sure are to me.
Yes. Although it does raise an interesting question going forward, which is how do you really define your family? Because there's a lot of people, I think we have close relationships that are like family that actually aren't blood related to us.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's different than who can you send for and from another country and to accept responsibility for. I say grandparents, sure, but maybe, you know, somebody that's a third cousin that you're really close to, I don't know if I could make an argument that you can send for them from a foreign country.
Fair enough. Well, at least they've expanded it to include what we would think are common sense definitions of family.
Exactly.
All right. On to our next unavoidable news story of the week is the word is twins.
Oh, the twins. Didn't Beyonce break Instagram and the internet again a couple of days ago with a photo?
Did she? You know, I'm a little slow on pop culture.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. So Beyonce shared the first photos of her twins earlier this week. And what I think was so beautiful was she let Jay-Z own his album being released. And then after, you know, basically exactly a month to the day after the twins were born, a couple weeks after Jay-Z's album had been released, then she releases the first photos of her with the babies. And do you know what the names are?
I think I do.
What are they?
They are names that I wasn't expecting. Sir Carter?
Right. Or just Sir, because Carter's the last name.
And Rumi?
Rumi.
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 Not like, hey, look at this great space we're in. It's very roomy.
You know, if you don't stop right now, it's R-U-M-I, but roomy, but treating the kid's name like it's an Escalade interior. You are so rude, B.
Hold on. Don't.
The man said the child looks like the inside of a limousine. You know what? You're disrespectful, my youth. I disrespect the beehive, you know, say my youth.
Don't act like these celebrities don't use a little home decorating. Didn't Michael Jackson name somebody Blanket? One of his kids. So don't. I'm just saying, that's home furnishings.
That was a nickname, son.
You sure? No, I think what? I think, yeah, but exactly.
Blanket wasn't his government name.
Yeah, so I just, so,
nah, B.
So see?
Blanket Jackson?
People thought I was joking when I said I didn't want them to think we met Rumi, like Rumi, just because they think blanket like blanket.
Ain't nobody naming their kid after the amount of space they occupy.
Child has a sister named Blue, so yeah.
I like the name Blue. I like the name Blue Ivy. I would consider that.
That's home furnishings too. Like what color are you going to use? Blue, Rumi, blanket.
Those are two different families, son. Anyways, what's your point? What's your point right now? What's your point?
So what were the two names?
The two names, as I told you, were Sir, and it's Sir Carter and Rumi. Yeah.
And what's so special about these names? Like, they're in terms of meaning behind them?
Yeah, I believe that they do have some deeper meaning on it. I'm trying to find the details in terms of, like, the actual meanings of the names.
I think I found it.
Okay, what is it?
So we don't have to define what Sir is. We know what Sir.
Okay.
But Rumi, spelled, as you said, R-U-M-I, appears to be an homage to the 13th century Muslim poet of the same name.
Oh, wow.
And the name Sir is referenced in one of Rumi's most famous poems.
Oh. Oh, that's so nice. So she named her daughter after a poet, and she named her son after a character in the poem?
Yeah, that's referenced in one of the Rumi poems.
Okay, that's nice.
Right?
Okay, that's nice. So what is the significance? Is there a significance to this poet? Like, are they, you know, known for groundbreaking poetry, or is it just she just is a fan?
It could be that she's a fan, but I do, you know, in the world of memes and people posting quotes, I've often seen a lot of Rumi quotes. So he's definitely a philosopher and someone that gets quoted in popular culture.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and quoted on Jay-Z's album.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so that's good to see.
Yeah. So so how do you feel? Would you name any future kids Sir or Rumi?
Me personally,
Be careful now. The Beehive will come after you.
Oh, the Beehive's already after me, son. Trust me. I'm going to say that before, I actually, like, the letters R-U-M-I, I thought that was quite beautiful. I actually did not make the correlation to the spacious nature of the name. And since you did that, I actually wouldn't do that to my kid, because I don't want people to be like, oh, this car's roomy, just like my name. No, I don't personally. The name Sir, it's just because it's a what are, like, a pronoun, I guess? Like, it's basically...
You're the English major.
Yeah, so then it's like, okay, so then you're going to be Sir Carter. Like, I just, it's too confusing for me personally. So then it's like, okay, so then it's like every time somebody says your name, they got to say your first name and your last name at the same time. Which, I mean, that's definitely some celebrity thing, because you don't say David, you always say David Bowie. So it's like, okay, I get it, right? But me personally, no, I'm a little bit more traditional in the name sense. And I mean, my name's Asha, which is not a traditional name, but there's a deep meaning behind it. My name has a deep meaning, like my first and middle name, like, mean something as they flow together. So, yeah,
Asha, Destiny Davis.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no Rumi. Got it.
Nah. I like to keep it tight. I like confront. Yeah.
Fair enough. And those are the three unavoidable. I'm just gonna move past that. It's Sunday. Jesus knows your heart. And so the three.
And so does Beyonce. Beyonce know my heart. I love you, boo.
And so does Jay-Z. Bo. And those are the three unavoidable news stories to start the show, which is Cluster Pluck and Donald Trump Jr. Let us know what word you would use to describe Donald Trump Jr. for taking the hookup and meeting with someone who's supposed to be down with the Russia government, who turned out wasn't. And our second story was that of family and the travel ban update as that continues to play out. And then lastly, twins.
And we're not talking about, the two on girls is, okay, sorry, that was.
And on that note, you're listening to Underdog Stuff. And as always, you get coverage, opinions, and coaching and humor of Underdog Stuff going on in politics, culture, and personal life. We're going to take a quick break. And then after that, back with more of today's show, Words with Friends, Part 1. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do every week here at WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. And joined in the co-host chair by Asha Davis.
Hi.
And in the room, the entire Underdog Stuff team is here, Kirsten Magwood and Marlon, a.k.a. M.Dot on the ones and twos. Today's topic and theme, Words with Friends, Part 1. The words and phrases that describe this week in politics, culture, and personal life. Now it's time for our un of the week. The unbelievable news story. And the word that I would use to describe this is devastated.
Devastated.
Yes.
It has something to do with Betsy?
It does. And just to give folks some context, we're about to talk about her point of view on sexual assaults on campus and how they're handled, or at least how they actually a lot of times aren't handled well. We're going to take a quick rewind to Betsy talking about her stance on on-campus sexual assaults back at her confirmation hearing in January. Let's play clip of Betsy.
There's a lot of conflicting ideas and opinions around that guidance. And if confirmed, I would look forward to working with you and your colleagues and understand the range of opinions and understand the issues from the higher ed institutions that are charged with resolving these and addressing them. And I would look forward to working together to find some resolutions.
Well, I agree with the guidance. So I'm just asking for a yes or no. I guess you're not going to give me a yes or no answer on committing to upholding that guidance.
It would be premature for me to do that today.
Well, we now have her yes or no answer to that question.
That is insane. So basically, just for people that are not tracking or, you know, actually can't really believe what they're hearing right now. So just to recap, Gregory, if I'm hearing all of this correctly, is Betsy DeVos basically saying that she is aligned to care about the rights of sexual assault perpetrators on college and university campuses more than the rights of sexual assault victims?
That's how it sounds. She would like you to believe that she cares about both.
She would like me to believe that she cares about both. So here's what my problem is with this. I don't know. Like, I feel like I heard a spokesperson, for example, of hers today or the other day saying that 90%, just basically throwing a comment out there that's saying 90% of the accusations that come out in result of sexual assault are basically just two people saying, oh, I was drunk. And then the girl woke up and was like, I didn't really want to do that. And so that's what the guys are using as a defense. And basically they're saying that it messes up the guy's future and career and all of that jazz. And it's positioning women in a very terrible light, if you ask me.
Yeah, and you know, before we came on pre-show, we were sitting in the room with some other folks here at the station talking about at times it feels like we're in the Twilight Zone, like in a universe that just it can't.
Yeah,
like, this story can't be true. But yes, there is concern about someone who breaks the law.
Yes,
assaults someone, and then obviously puts an enormous amount of impact emotionally, physically, on the woman, and yet Betsy seems to be like, well, hey, don't forget about the guy.
Yeah.
And for those who might be wondering, how could she even take this position? What's maybe some of the stuff going on in the background? I want to play the next clip from the confirmation hearing because she actually mentioned some organizations that she's a part of that may have a position that warrants why she wants to make sure she stands up for the guy. The opposing point of view. Mm. Let's play that clip real quick and then we'll continue this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Senator, let me just say my mom's heart is really piqued on this issue. Assault in any form is never okay. And I just want to be very clear on that. And so if confirmed, I look forward to understanding the past actions and the current situation better. And to ensuring that the intent of the law is actually carried out in a way that is,
the organization
that recognizes both the victim, the rights of the victims, as well as those who are accused as well, and that the
I'm out of time, but let me just, the organization that has that position, which is contrary to the law, current law, and contrary to the spirit of what we try to do in that piece of legislation, is a recipient of donations from you totaling about $25,000 over 4 years. I hope that's not a conflict of interest, but I would hope that you would make a definitive commitment as a nominee to enforce the law as it relates to sexual assault on college campuses. And I'll send you more questions about it.
Well.
Wow.
Yeah, you know that phrase when they say someone shows you who they are, believe them?
Yes, exactly.
This was Betsy in January signaling to us where she stood on this position.
Yeah, and I mean, Daryl, shout out to Daryl who's tuned in, says he's basically saying he thinks Betsy isn't too smart. He actually said she's an idiot, but I'm not going to repeat that.
You just did.
I know. I'm just joking.
Shout out to Daryl, 212, to the 215 and the 212. Appreciate you. Yes, this is the reason why this is such a big deal is because I believe recently reported by the CDC, 1 in 5 women experience sexual assault on college campuses. And then, which is already unfortunate, then when you add on top of that, a lot of them aren't reported.
Exactly.
Because women don't feel safe or don't feel heard, or nothing happens to the accuser. Like the guy in California who, I think, assaulted a woman, and then he got off because they were like, they don't want his life ruined.
Exactly. And it's funny how, I mean, not to bring race into things, but to bring race into things.
Like you kind of did with the idiot comment.
Like I kind of, it's interesting because, I mean, there's this whole thing where if a black man does something, then he's put on trial and guilty until proven innocent, until something comes out about, you know, that woman's personality. But it's like, if a white guy gets put on trial, especially if they're around the same age, it's like, don't mess up this kid's life just because some girl got drunk and decided that she actually didn't want to do it when she sobered up the next day. You know, I think that there's something fundamentally messed up about that. Like, this is the same, you know, culture that basically perpetuates, okay, so if a woman's out there in a short skirt, then she was asking for it. And they actually use, you know, the lawyers of the accused actually use things like that, the woman's personality, her propensity to drink, this and that, to actually defend, you know, these people that have done these terrible things and have assaulted these women. And I think what, to the point you made before, I think it's the law that's not really that clear as to, like, consent. And there's all this work that's been done over the past few years about what does it mean to have consent, and I think it's just still not a permanent part of the common consciousness right now in terms of does yes mean yes until it means no, or like what does that mean?
Yeah, and while I obviously am in agreement with the idea of innocent until proven guilty, I think we have enough data that shows the scales are still tilted to where those who are sexually assaulted are not set up in a way to have those cases heard and then the folks prosecuted for doing that. And so to me, any step that we take that continues to keep the scales tilted in that way is unacceptable.
I agree.
And we will continue to, as you know, here on Underdog Stuff, keep an eye on things when they are under the week or are sometimes underreported things. And this is one where we wanted to definitely bring light to what Betsy and the Department of Education was up to.
Again, and people that are in the U.S., I mean, this is just another explicit example of laws and protections that Barack Obama had set up while he was president that the current administration is working to repeal and roll back. And you would think something as basic as let's protect young women who are being sexually assaulted on college campuses in which they're going to learn would be at least one of the things that would be, okay, we're not going to mess with that. You guys care about the environment, you care about coal jobs, okay, fine. But at least let's care about women who are being sexually assaulted, especially if you have a female education minister. But obviously, that was too much to ask. So, guys, again, add it to the list of things that you are lobbying your local representatives on. Please vote to keep those laws that were put in place for Barack to protect the rights of sexual assault victims on campuses.
Yes, totally agree. And we're going to take one quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk the underreported news stories of the week. And still to come, we have Uninhibited Q&A.
Oh.
And in the second hour, we have summer hours. So folks may be used to us going from one to two, but we have summer hours today.
Yeah, and we have Selena. Do we have a special surprise?
Yes, we have a guest.
Oh.
WHCR's own Selena Hill will be in the building to join us, and we'll talk to her. She's an entrepreneur journalist.
Mm-hmm.
She's also a founder of Let Your Voice Be Heard Radio,
mm-hmm.
and she's a digital editor of Black Enterprise.
Shout out to Selena. Can't wait to talk to her.
Yeah, so we'll have her on in the second hour. But first, a quick break, and then more underreported and uninhibited underdog stuff after this break. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff, talking politics, culture, and personal life. Today's theme, words with friends.
Words with friends. Word.
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 Part one.
Because there's going to be more parts to this story, I'm sure.
Yes, because we're having fun with these words, with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Underreported story of the week.
Yeah.
The word I would use to describe this, drowning.
Drowning. This is everybody that tunes into this show on a regular basis knows that I am a huge friend and advocate for the environment.
Me
and
too.
I strongly believe in climate change, despite what the current administration decides to tell us. I don't think Jesus will save us from climate change. Only changing our behavior will save us from climate change. Okay?
Jesus will save us.
Not from, okay.
No, anyways. He sent the scientists.
Oh, yeah.
See?
That's not how they positioned it, okay? Jesus gave us brains to use them to think.
That's
okay?
What I'm saying, that yeah. We would think and listen to the scientists.
Exactly. But, okay. So basically, this week in climate change, for those who have not been following the environmental news that often gets underreported, essentially, a trillion, not a million, not a billion, but a trillion, but the amount of tons as, so a trillion ton iceberg has broken off Antarctica. So
how big is that?
Remember when Donald Trump said it's going to, or remember when they did the analyst and said it's going to cost about $1 trillion to build the wall?
That Mexico is going to pay for.
Think about that in like tons, right? So like imagine that an elephant is about, what, 3-4 tons, right? An elephant weighs about 3 or 4 tons, right? And one
ton. If you say so.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So
I can't really challenge you because I don't know.
A trillion of those. One ton is a lot of weight.
That's okay? A roomy iceberg.
It's roomy. Anyways, the biggest, just to put it in perspective, this is the biggest iceberg in history that's ever sort of broken off of Antarctica. So this is a really big deal. And to just add some context here, the ice sheets are melting right now faster than any time ever in history. And only in the past 5 years, so since 2012, it's actually doubled. So what does that mean? That basically means that in 2012, the amount of ice that was melted in Antarctica is equal to Niagara Falls running nonstop into the ocean for 5 years. So anybody that's been to Niagara Falls, you see how much water that is, right? Now, times whatever amount of minutes that you were standing there watching that, imagine that consistently flowing into the ocean for 5 years, and that amount was just 2012. Are you guys tracking with me now?
Since
2012, that has doubled. So right now, it's like Niagara Falls falling into the ocean every day for 10 years, but that's happening in 1 year right now. So that's what's really scary. And basically what that means is that the water levels, obviously, in the ocean are rising. Marlon's looking at me so perplexed and confused because he's like, how could this be? And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what's happening right now. And every person that actually is like a scientist that's watching this, that's, you know, watching what's going on, is completely freaking out and is completely alarmed. And basically what this means is that the ocean levels are rising at a degree in which basically places that are sort of below a certain sea level are going to disappear. So places like Miami, Florida, for example.
No, not Miami. Not
these
South
places
Beach.
Are not going to exist.
South Beach.
These places are not going to exist in 50 years. So basically in our lifetime, there will be no more Miami if this current rate of ice melting actually continues to occur.
You just
so like keep that in mind. Like that's the most that I could describe it for you in ways that you know. Like when you have kids, or by the time your kids have kids, there will be no Miami for them to go to.
You just caught a lot of people's attention because folks like going to South Beach.
So, like, I'm not trying to be an alarmist here, but, like, guys, we need to make and when you see that we're going as America in the opposite direction here and coming out of the Paris Climate Change Agreement, that's when we start to have, like, major, major problems, because this particular country is going to be affected. Now, luckily, other countries in the world have a vested interest in caring about climate change, and because this is something that affects the whole planet and not just America, just because America makes a decision that doesn't, that's not the be all and end all of the world. But at the same time, like, if people keep ignoring this and people keep doing the same behaviors that they're going to do, there's no hope.
And speaking of the Paris Climate Change Agreement, Donald Trump this week was in Paris.
Yes, he was.
Hanging out with the leader of France, Mr. Macron.
Yeah.
And the Paris Climate Agreement came up.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's Donald Trump maybe keeping the window open that maybe America won't be the country sitting on the sidelines to combat things like the story we just talked about. Let's hear Donald Trump maybe reconsidering the Paris Agreement.
Something could happen with respect to the Paris Accord. We'll see what happens. But we will talk about that over the coming period of time. And if it happens, that'll be wonderful. And if it doesn't, that'll be okay, too.
Sur le climat, nous connaissons nos...
He just said like a whole lot of nothing right there.
He said a big maybe.
He said it maybe happens and in a period of time. So obviously, like, that is not specific. That's the actual opposite of specific, like a period of time. Okay. One day in the universe of time. And if it happens, it'll be wonderful. And if it doesn't happen, it'll be fine. Where the whole reason that nothing's happening is because you chose to come out because you want to save jobs for an industry that's killing the environment.
Remember, he cares about Pittsburgh, not Paris.
Pittsburgh cares about climate change. Didn't you remember the mayor of Pittsburgh was like, Pittsburgh wants us to be in this?
No, I do. And just for folks who may not have been following the story as closely, one of the good things about America is that we also do things at the local level and state level.
Exactly.
And so while America, at the leadership of Donald Trump, has pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement, there are still a number of states and cities that continue to do things to advance taking better care of the environment.
Yes.
And for that, we are grateful.
So, just because you think that you're not in the federal government, your cities, your municipalities, your state governments, these people all have a say. And the more that people stop trusting Donald Trump, the more say that these local and state level legislations can actually make an impact and a difference.
Yes, they can. So then that way we don't have to do a story where the word is drowning and we have to talk about icebergs. We don't want that to happen.
Well, that's already happened.
Oh, we don't want more of it to happen.
It's going to keep happening.
Well, no, we may get back into the Paris Agreement.
Even if we do, the icebergs are still going to be melting.
All right. Well, we're going to figure something out, but probably not in this hour. So with that,
go to Miami while it still exists. That's what I'll say. And the coral reefs all in Australia all just died this week too. Sorry, I didn't want to. Yeah, so there's no more coral reef. The Great Barrier Reef that everybody learned about in school, yeah, that doesn't exist anymore, guys. It's completely dead. Sorry.
And on that note, we'll take a quick break, allow everybody to collect themselves, maybe go onto a web travel website, book some travel to some of the wonderful destinations around the world. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with more Underdog stuff. We have some unfinished business and Uninhibited. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff. covering, as always, politics, culture, and personal life. And today's show theme is Words with Friends Part 1.
Or WWF, because it's kind of like a SmackDown.
It definitely is, and it seems to be that way every week in those areas of life and society and culture. Now, for those who are tuning in, it's 2 o'clock and we're still on the air.
Yeah.
And that's because we have summer hours.
Yes.
And so we have more to come in the second hour as opposed to the show ending. So still under unfinished business to come. We have Uninhibited. Plus, we have our guest, Selena Hill. But we were just talking about climate change as one of our underreported stories before the break. So any Facebook Live comments?
Yeah. So we've got... Basically, Daryl says if Ivanka can convince her father that signing onto the Paris agreement will win him re-election, we'll be in Paris. So, Ivanka, apparently it's all up to you right now.
Hey, it seems like everything's on Ivanka and Jared.
Yeah, but I think they're on corporate business trips right now trying to sell some merch. also, Kirsten, shout out to Kirsten. She's in the studio with us. Just let us know that next week, or I guess this week, if Sunday's the first day of the week, Al Gore will be in New York, actually, doing a talk on climate change at BMCC. It's at 7 a.m. Don't know how much it costs, but if you can make it out, I believe that would be awesome. And it's definitely something I'm going to try to check out as well, if it's not sold out already.
Yes, because as we often talk about, getting access to information, being aware, protests, things like that, they're all a part of continuing to make change.
Yes.
Happen. Cool. With that, unfinished business.
Yeah.
Last week, we talked about mental health, which we've talked about before in different stories, but the fact that there's oftentimes seems to be a stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Folks may not want to get help, which is one thing. But then there's a lot of people who actually want to get help, but may not have access to the means, the money to make it happen.
Exactly.
So we wanted to make sure that we shared at least one service out there that is, in the spirit of today's show, Words with Friends, we call this section Free 99, because there is help out there for us.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the access places, and, you know, we do the show live in Harlem, and we're here in New York City. So one of the places that you can get access to mental health and counseling for free is New York City Well.
Mm-hmm.
It's it connects you with free, confidential mental health support. You can speak to a counselor via phone, via text, or via chat. So I love that they remove all the barriers. If you want to text about something that's going on, great. Chat about it, great. Phone call, all available. And it's in over 200 languages.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so another barrier. No one will understand me. No, you can understand you. Connect in the type of medium you want to choose. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get peer support and counseling, assistance, all that stuff, all available if you text the word well to 65173 or call 1-888-NEW-YORK-CITY-WELL.
Text well to 65173 and they'll take it from there.
Yes, yes. So very important stuff. And just another example of at least talking about the state or city where we are, that there is support out there, that cost isn't the barrier.
And I'm just going to put this out there. And Gregory, I apologize I didn't ask you in advance. But if there's anybody that's listening to our podcast or watching us on Facebook Live that, you know, wants to learn about mental health issues, I'm more than happy. And Gregory, I'm sure, is more than happy to help you guys. Just email us at the Underdog Stuff Show and or comment to us on Facebook. And we are more than happy to help you find resources in your area.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. This is a place where you can call in at any time and we'll talk to you about mental health things.
Yeah.
We'll talk about all the stuff that goes on in Underdogs, right? If you're trying to start a business, if you need assistance trying to make a decision, we actually talk about that stuff here. And if you do want to email your questions, you can do that to underdogstuff@gregoryneesmith.com.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. And if he doesn't have the time, forward it to me and I will find some resources for you, because I believe mental health is definitely, definitely important to all communities and especially communities of color.
Yes. And what we'll do here from time to time is each week share some other free or low-cost resources related to all the things going from underdog to be on top, like starting a business or starting a show and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So more to come. But definitely check out New York City Well if you want some support and for free, or call us.
Awesome.
Cool. Now, time for the uninhibited question of the week.
Oh, it's uninhibited time already?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I thought we were waiting till the end. Okay, well, your uninhibited question today, your hint was, you know, today's words with friends, you know, and we're talking about words and words that evoke and elicit certain emotions, right? So I gave you a hint.
You did?
Yes, I gave you a hint. And your hint this week was words that make you go,
Okay, words that make me go,
So, are there any words that really just get your juices going? A couple of weeks ago on air, you actually told us that you didn't mind and actually enjoyed when you were called daddy in certain circumstances. And I'm wondering if there's certain things, certain words that really just get your engines revved up.
And this is where I preferred the days when I was operating the board and could could play some filler music, could go to break. It's times like this where Marlon is actually not helping me by being in studio. And I'm, you know, kind of on an island right now, having to give an uninhibited response, an unscripted one, to a very good question given the theme. You are very good at this theme tying into the questions. And I'm proud of you. I just, you know, as an English major, I don't like, oh, I don't think she really was an English major. Probably not. No, I'm like, no, she probably is. It was well done, like well placed. I'm, you know, salute to you, Words with Friends. I don't want to play Words with Friends with you anymore. Yeah, every week. What was the question again?
Oh, last week you also told us that when someone asks you one of your coaching notes from last week, actually. You said when someone asks you to repeat a question, it's really because they heard your question. So don't accept that and just say, you know the question. So I'm going to, you taught me that last week too.
Was I giving out free coaching advice?
Mm-hmm. For free 99.
I'm going to have to be mindful of this free mm-hmm. coaching advice I give, but that is true.
But for our listeners, I will repeat the question. So, Gregory, what words make you go,
When someone says that I'm sexy.
Oh, sexy?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I remember back to like growing up and being a bit of the, like on the nerdier side of things. Mm. And so folks may appreciate me as being a good guy or like, hey, you're smart, this and that. But for me, I always wish and enjoy when someone goes, man, you're really sexy.
Oh.
Like that, the fact that there's also a physical attraction or one of the things that comes up first or in their mind, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool to be seen as sexy.
Okay, so ladies, anyone that is trying to get at Gregory, one thing you can do is call him sexy. That's one of his favorite words. What else? Any others?
I'm not sure what other ones phrases I can maybe say. It's Sunday.
Just one more. Sexy was really good. You know, I'm sure some of our Facebook Live viewers and, you know, your photos are all over the podcast link. So I'm sure there's a few folks out there that'll like to call you sexy. Email us at underdogstuff@gregorynesmith.com and tell him that he's sexy.
Or if you want to tell us about something you need assistance in your life, whether you're starting a business, you want to, whether you're having a dilemma that you're not quite sure what to do, we also talk that stuff here because it's coverage, it's opinions, and coaching of things going on in your professional, personal life, politics, or culture. The only other word or phrase that comes to mind is enjoyed it.
That is self-explanatory.
No, hold on. Let me explain.
He said, for those just to need to repeat that, so Gregory's second favorite phrase or answer that makes him go, is enjoyed it.
And let me explain. Because, as you know, all of us as a team, and me personally, put a lot of work and effort into the live radio show and podcast. And so for me, one of the things that really like excites me or gets me going is when someone actually says they enjoyed listening to the show. It's nothing better than they could have been doing anything else in the world. And they took some time to either listen to us live or to the podcast. And when I hear someone go, you know, I really enjoyed the show. I enjoyed it. That makes me smile. It makes me go, that's cool.
All right. Okay. Well, listen to the podcast and call them sexy. That's all it takes, ladies.
Yeah, she's plugging for somebody. Somebody's got to get you on the air. She's so, plugging for somebody.
So we're going to take a quick break. And coming up after the break, during summer hours, a bonus hour of underdog stuff, we have Selena Hill, who's going to join us, an entrepreneur journalist, also the founder of Let Your Voice Be Heard Radio, and digital editor at Black Enterprise. And she is actually in the studio, and she'll be ready to come on, and we'll talk underdog stuff with her after this break. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, live radio show and podcast that we do every week here at WATR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem. And you get coverage, you get opinions and coaching of underdog stuff in politics, culture, and personal life. And every now and then, we have the honor of going on the journey of an underdog. And we bring through special guests to talk about the grind, the hustle, and the unexpected fun of going from underdog to being on top. And so with that, this week's Journey of an Underdog special guest is Selena Hill.
Oh, wow.
In the building.
Oh, my goodness.
Speaking of words with friends, I like to say two words when I talk about Selena. Media mogul.
Oh, good. You must be speaking into the future.
Hey, you are a media mogul at the start of your journey.
You know what? I'll take that. I'll take that. Thank you so much, Greg, for having me on the show. Hey, guys, you guys have a great show. I don't know how I deserve this honor to be featured on the show, maybe because I called in like 2 weeks ago. And y'all were like, let's just get her in the studio.
Yes.
No, she is pretending to be Kendrick Lamar and way too humble right now.
Selena, but that's my theme song.
Stop.
I listen to that all the time. I'm like, stay humble. Stay humble. Literally, I listen to Kendrick and I tell myself that. But well, thank you guys.
Yeah, well, I get why you might want to stay humble, because you are an entrepreneur journalist. You are also the founder of Let Your Voice Be Heard Radio and digital editor of Black Enterprise.
Yes, thank you so much. And I also contribute to What's Eating Harlem, which is a local TV show that comes on PBS affiliate New York City Life. Season 6 is coming up.
Hold on now. But what about Bold TV 2?
Oh, shoot. I forgot about Bold TV 2. Yes, I am a reoccurring co-anchor on the show. So, and I have the, you know, I'm definitely blessed to be featured on that show. Carrie Shutfield is the founder of it. She's often on like Fox News, and she has like another show that I used to do. She does the first show with Clay Aiken.
Okay.
So I was on their show with Clay, and then they
see
did
how
a
she
spinoff.
Drops a see her underdog. She just drops names like, you know, Clay Aiken.
So then they did a spinoff, and they needed another co-anchor, so they allowed me to come in and do co-anchoring on that show pretty often. So it's a great experience, guys.
Hey, well,
I'm just blessed to be on the Underdog Stuff show.
Yeah, so let's get into it. We often talk about, there's two things to most people's stories, right? There's where they're at. That's very visual to people. They see Selena Hill on Instagram, on Bold TV. They listen to you from 11 to 1 here on WATR. They're like, she's doing it. She's balling out. And then the other part is like, well, how did she get here? And when we talk Journey of Underdog, we like to really talk about, well, how did they get here? So that folks who may be going through it all and aren't yet founder of a radio show and program and doing what you're doing, we want them to know what that's like. So I want to start at the beginning. Earlier in the show, one of our topics was Free 99, about having access to things at low cost. Or the flip side can be you might be doing things and not getting paid. How did you get started in this media journey that you're on?
Well, it took years to get here. And when I first started my journey, I was doing a lot of things that I was not paid for. I graduated SUNY Ole Westbury with a degree in media and communications, and I graduated with high accolades from the college. I even spoke at graduation. And then it took 3 months for me to just earn, for me to like score an unpaid internship. So I started interning at a renowned digital news outlet, which focused on politics. And I was doing that for 3 months. I was working 50 hours a week at this internship for not even a stipend. I don't even know if that's legal in New York City anymore, by the way.
Probably not. But.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then I had to work retail on the weekends in order to like compensate and, you know, to earn some money. So I did that for a while. And then after that internship ended, I started interning at WOR 710 AM radio, which is now owned by iHeartRadio. So I was interning there. And then luckily that internship eventually opened up the door for me to become an assistant producer. Okay. But I was working as an assistant producer for WOR for I think a few months, but it was only part time, so I couldn't stay there either. So like my mom was like, you know, we invested a lot of money into your college education, and you know, I understand, you know, I really don't understand this trajectory and why you're not, you know, really getting paid a lot of money. You're either working for free or part time. You're still at the retail place on the weekends. And she was like, you know, what are you doing? So I actually at that time I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to go to J school and get a master's degree in journalism. And I was on my way to going to CUNY, the CUNY J school here in New York City. And I literally fell asleep while taking the GRE. Like, I just knocked out. And I took that as a sign, like, maybe, you know what, maybe instead of trying to work for another degree, I should focus on trying to work for money, right? So I did that.
Well, you know what? That's so, Selena, that's so interesting that you say that in terms of, you know, how your parents reacted, because so much times in the community, like, of color, it's that you get forced to sort of go into jobs like that are more traditional, right? Like nursing or, you know, being a lawyer or something like that, where your family can honestly like see specifically like how you're going to make money. Whereas something more like media and communications isn't really like a traditional type of job, you know, trajectory. And it's so interesting because, people that come from sort of more well-off type families, their parents would never really ask them that question. Their parents would not be saying, you know, we invested a lot in your education and like, when are you gonna get a job? Only like a year after you finish school. Like there's people that finish school that don't get paid for years after, and their family is just like, no, you know, you're just sort of living your dream and you're doing your own thing. But out of necessity of having to contribute and to support yourself, I think that that's really interesting as to how you took that and took it upon yourself to try to, you know, now then be like, this is what I want to do, but now let me focus on how can I get paid for it.
Absolutely. No, you are absolutely right with that.
Now you speaking of what are you doing with your parents said something to you. During those 50-hour work weeks and getting pressure from parents and maybe even family, other family and friends, why did you keep going even though people were even questioning, like, what are you doing?
That's a great question, Greg. And I was almost embarrassed because, like I said, when I graduated college, I was very highly esteemed. And then people were like, what are you doing now? And I'm like, interning. And so I kind of felt bad about myself in a situation. But, I mean, I had to keep going. Like, I couldn't just end the internship. I mean, it opened up the door for so many things for me. Like, it sort of felt like a crash course in digital media production, mm-hmm. and also in political journalism. So it was a great experience, but I mean, I couldn't just stop. I had to use that as a stepping stone.
You could have stopped, but you kept going.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. You know what? Because even though like my mom was really on my back at that time, she still gave me enough support to say, okay, I see you're trying. Like she knew that I was still going out and working 7 days a week. So she was like, you're not making any money, but the least I can do is try to support your dreams the best way I can.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to make one point for the underdogs listening about when family or friends come at you about what you're doing. It's actually a gift. And the gift is, it's either, and most of the time it comes from a place of love, right? Your mom doesn't want anything bad to happen to you. But when you get questioned by family and friends about your dream and what you're doing, you either get to reaffirm to them that you're making your stand and like you're all in, or sometimes even their doubt may allow you to figure out that maybe you're not that committed to it. Like, it's an opportunity for you to really look at, am I really committed to this or not? And they're not coming at me because they hate me. They, like, love me. They want me to be safe and secure. And if you really want it and they get that cinch, you'll be surprised how eventually they'll come around to being on your side. And it sounds like you were like, no, Mom, like, I'm in it to win it. No, I'm committed.
And I think there's something really special about being passionate about what you want to do and what you want to be in life. You know, not a lot of, to be honest, there's a lot of people out there that have very safe and secure jobs, and you ask, but they hate them, and you ask them, what would you rather be doing? And they cannot answer the question. So the fact that you, at such a young age, coming out of college, knew exactly what you were going to do and knew that it was going to be hard to do it and were willing to make sacrifices in your life, I think is a lot. There's a lot to be said for that.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So now.
Y'all make it sound so good.
It is.
Hey, so now you get this first paid gig. All is right with the world, right? You made it.
Mama made it.
Right? Isn't it, that's right?
No.
So what happened? You got the paid gig. Then what? Like, it wasn't like the music didn't start playing happily ever after?
No, it was only part time. So when I started getting a paycheck and getting paid to work in media as a journalist, it was part time. Like, I was still even working retail at that time as well, until I eventually got fired from my retail job. And I was like, all right, so I'm all in now. But definitely not. Like, that's why I started around this time is when I really started thinking about going back to school.
Okay.
So I took the GRE. Obviously, I couldn't finish the test. So then after that, I think I just started going to job fairs and I started like really looking for like a secure job. And I ended up securing two positions. One, I started freelancing at the New York Amsterdam News here in Harlem. And then I started working at New Vision and Business Magazine as the online editor. So I did that for like 2 years. And that really opened up more doors. It came with a ton of perks, not a ton of money. Like, it was stable, you know? Like, okay. It was a consistent paycheck. But, I mean, I was getting paid scraps. Because, I mean, like, especially in media, like, you have to really put in a lot of grunt work before they want to pay you. And you have to, like, almost, like, prove yourself. And I remember I used to talk to Stanley, who's my co-host on Let Your Voice Be Heard, and a longtime friend. And he was like, Selena, like, you're borderline being exploited. Like, you have talent. Like, you've been doing this for a few years now. Why don't you put a demand or put some value on the work you're doing? And he just kept saying it and saying it. And I was just like, well, Stanley, it's a great opportunity. Like, I can go out here and do this stuff for free, even though it's outside of my duties or responsibilities. Like, I'll just keep doing it for the experience. And then eventually I built up that experience at the end of those 2 years. And I was just like, yeah, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, because now you've gone from getting an understanding of an industry, showing that you can add value, and now it's time to flip the switch to, I get to be compensated for the value I create in the world. Very cool.
And I know, Gregory, we had talked a few weeks ago on our show about women understanding their value and knowing what to ask for. And, you know, obviously, you know, we had talked a little bit about the reason for some of the pay discrepancies is sometimes women don't speak up and say, you know, I want this. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before about people of color, but Stanley is a man, you know, and he's the one that had to come to you and say, you know, you're amazing. Like, why are you not getting paid for what you're doing? Because I wouldn't allow myself to work like that.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
It's definitely a challenge for not only women of all races, but people of color, men and women, oftentimes not negotiating
exactly
the value that they have earned. Because we often say, you don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate.
There you go. And, I like that.
And that is something to always be mindful of. So for underdogs out there who might want to be a media mogul, and Selena Hill. I know, I had to say Selena Hill because you didn't know I was talking about you when I said
that. Yeah, because I'm like, yeah, I'm like, who's this media mogul here? Like, can I take note?
I'm just saying, you created a brand and a platform. And you also, Black Enterprise is a big deal and the things you do. So I'm calling you media mogul in progress.
Okay,
so happens
I'll
that
take it.
I've met you at the start of it.
I love it. I'll take that.
For folks who want to get into media, they're underdogs trying to become contenders in this space. They see it. They're like, ooh, looks cool. I want to be in media. What are some of the tips that you've learned on your journey so far that could help them if they're just starting out?
Yes, sure. I would say consistency is definitely key. You have to keep working at the craft. I mean, like, even if you want to play sports, right, you have to practice every single day. If you want to be a singer, you need to get a singing coach, and you need to just put in that effort and that energy into being the best you can be. The same thing goes for media. Like, no matter what space in media that you want to work in, you have to continue to work at it, and you need to pay your dues. Like, I say that almost graduating with such high accolades from my college almost put me at a disadvantage, because I had a strong sense of entitlement when I graduated. And I was just like, okay, I did great in college, and I did my radio show, and I could write, and, you know, why aren't the jobs coming to me? And I really couldn't understand that at that time. And I think a lot of, like, millennials and young people graduate with that sense of, like, entitlement. But so I would say another tip would be, you know, be humble. You know, be humble, definitely. Like, because it takes patience, and it takes practice, and also takes humility. And those were some of the lessons that I had to learn on my journey. And I would share that with anyone else. Like, you can do it. Do not get me wrong. Like, there are people who start off blogging every single day, and now they're making millions. There are people that start off as interns, or even get rejected from being an intern, like Karen Civil. And she now has her own media company and is a mogul. So just keep going, be persistent, and seek out resources as much as you can. If you can find a mentor, if you can start shadowing other people in, like, the broadcast arena or whatever arena of media that you want to work in, or even just study them on YouTube. If you don't have access, watch them every single day on YouTube, or, like, watch their social media. Watch how they move in this game, and use that to perfect your craft.
No, I love that. So there's consistency, which we call basically the grind. Like, are you going to keep grinding? There's also the humility. And then I'm a big fan of partnerships. So reaching out to people, mentors, getting access to information, things like that. The humility piece. I will share a story about humility and the whole idea of this journey. So I'm a little older than you. I had a 16-year career in corporate America for a Fortune 100 company running businesses and teams around the world. I wanted to get
into... making a lot of money at that, too. You want to add that in? You being humble?
I was being humble.
Okay, I got you.
I was well compensated.
Yes, you were. He disclosed beforehand. He told me how much he was earning. I was like, you left your job to do this? Like, are you kidding me, Craig? But go ahead.
I'm a believer that what I do now creates value in the world, and I actually was underpaid there.
Ooh.
And so I will.
I need to get like that.
Yes, it's the mindset, right?
So, yes, it's the mindset.
So imagine, oftentimes we're in jobs, and this is proven data, about 70% of people hate their jobs. So when I say this statement, most of y'all listening don't like your job, and you're working very hard there. Imagine if you took that same effort and had some passion behind all the hours you spend working doing stuff that you don't even like. Match that with your passion, serve some people, be willing to become great at it. You'll actually create more value in the world for yourself and everybody else. So that's my whole premise. But it took me a little while, because I'll be honest. When I first heard that, a friend said I was underpaid. I'm like, no, I make good money. I ain't underpaid. Let's be clear. I make good. Like, I don't think I'm underpaid at all. But he was right, actually. I was underpaid in terms of my emotional health and then also my monetary, the money I made. But I say that all to say, my humble story is I was at WRD in Philadelphia. They're a for-profit radio station. I wanted to get into the biz. They're Pennsylvania's only black-owned radio station. So the first thing they allowed me to do as an intern, imagine, I've left my career. I'm interning at a radio station in my hometown of Philly. My first job is to intern for a Saturday host who's 24 years old that hosts their millennial show for black millennials. And my job was to answer the phones and do live tweeting. So you want to talk about some humility? And being
How old were you at this time?
I was 38.
Working for a 24-year-old.
Yeah. Yes. Interning on the weekends in Philly, live tweeting and answering the phones for the radio show that he was the lead producer and host of. Humility. Now, with that said, though, doing that early on, he used to tell me, he goes, man, I love you, because he's like, I can't really get any of my friends. They want to just come on and be on the air. They don't want to do anything behind the scenes. And then literally about a couple weeks in, he's like, I have to go on a two-week vacation. We don't want to play reruns of the show. Do you want to host the show those next two Saturdays? because I was willing to be humble and put in the work. And also they trusted that, oh, if they're willing to like put in this effort and they mean it, and they're like, you know what? It's a give and take relationship. And from then on, we would eventually become co-producers and co-hosts of the show. And now he has his own radio show and I have my own radio show. I use that example because my dad often tells me a lot of times us as young people think that when we graduate, our degree said CEO on it, or it said COO, or it said director of something. And it's like, no, it's nowhere on there. Go in there and put in some work. And then, you know, work yourself out. But so I just share that story about humility, that I've been there. And it was unpaid.
Mm-hmm.
I was an unpaid phone answerer and live tweeter.
Yes.
So Selena Hill, if folks want more Selena Hill, where can they actually watch you and listen to you?
Absolutely. So I would say, first off, you should follow me on social media. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Selena Hill. And I spell Miss with an M-S, then Selena, then Hill. But yeah, I mean, if you're in New York City, you can listen to WHCR by just tuning to 90.3 FM every Sunday at 11 a.m. I host a show called Let Your Voice Be Heard Radio right here. I also do a TV show. If you guys are in New York City, it comes on New York City Life every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. I am a contributing reporter. The main host is Vanessa Tyler, who I love very much. He is a veteran journalist. And you guys, if you guys are on Facebook, follow Bold TV, because I co-anchor their business show every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. We have a lot of fun. We get a lot of big name guests. We didn't have Chance the Rapper, but we had his brother on. And I was just as hype. So we get in there. We had his brother on. So I was like, woo, he was there. So guys, you can tune in there. And am I forgetting anything? And you subscribe to our podcast too on iTunes. Let Your Voice Be Heard Radio.
See, that's why I call you Media Mogul.
And Black Enterprise. Just go to blackenterprise.com. You'll see my writings there. I write for Black Enterprise.
See why I call you Media Mogul?
Yes, because it's making it into the future.
Yes, just remember, you're a media mogul at the start of your journey.
I need that in like a picture frame, like over my bed. Like, I love that. I love it.
Hey, and we love having you on Underdog Stuff and you gracing us with your presence today.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. You guys have a great show. I tell you that all the time.
And we appreciate you. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more Underdog Stuff. Today's show theme is Words with Friends. And thank you to Selena Hill for joining us today. More Underdog Stuff after this.
Higher than the moon, higher than the sky.
Welcome back to Underdog Stuff, live radio show and podcast. And shout out to Selena Hill, who was in the building to talk to us about her journey as an underdog, going from underdog to contender in the media industry.
Yes, yes.
And she, as you just heard, is still in the building.
I'm still here.
And we love that.
They didn't kick me out yet.
No, and we will not be kicking her out. And as always, we have the Underdog Stuff team in the room too, Asha Davis and Kirsten Magwood.
Hi.
And today's theme is Words with Friends. And for the unscripted segment, we're going to play a little word game.
That's exciting.
Yes, I'm going to say a word or phrase that the Underdog Stuff team and Selena don't know what that word or phrase is going to be.
Okay.
And then you get to give your initial thoughts.
Okay.
Three words.
Okay.
Whatever that is. It could be a sentence, it could be three separate words, whatever you want to do. Three words.
Okay.
You can sing it if you want to.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Unscripted.
Okay.
Words with friends. Okay. Or phrases with friends.
I got you.
Donald Trump Jr.
Ridiculous.
Oh, you don't even need two other words. You get three.
He is ridiculous.
And that was Kirsten Magwood. Top that.
I'm going to say, like son, like father.
Like son, like father. That's four words.
Okay, fine. That's four words. Oh, I wanted four. I needed an extra.
See, not already.
Birds of a feather.
Mm.
That's four words, too.
Oh, yeah.
Selena Hill, please don't break the rules.
Okay.
Donald Trump Jr.
Okay. Scandalous, liar, fraud.
Well, now, and on that note, I think we can go to the next. I think that pretty much sums it up.
I mean.
All right. Next word. since we do politics, culture, and personal life, I'll stick with one other political one here.
Okay.
Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Woman.
True.
Should have been president. That's a phrase of three words. Should have been president.
Should have is one word. Like, nah, I mean, like, do you know what I'm saying?
Should have. Right.
So should have been president.
Yes.
That is. Those are three words in, like, around the way.
Exactly. See? You didn't say what type of words. Nah, I mean, nah, what type. We could use slang, speak a little black vernacular. That works.
Hey.
I would say she's the losingest winner.
And say that to the mic.
She is the losingest winner.
Losingest winner. Oh, yep.
There you go.
Asha Davis, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I think it's Rodham. Rodham. With an M at the end.
Yes, I say Rodham. And sometimes it's a slip of the tongue.
I am going to say, contrary to popular belief, I'm just gonna caveat my three words. I'm just still gonna say, I'm with her.
Ooh, nice. I like that. Oh, I'm with her.
You two surprised me with that. That's.
I know that you're not, but I am. I'm with her.
Needs more people.
Okay.
That's a good one too. I like that.
All right, let's move to culture. Kardashian.
Okay. I should probably explain what I'm going to say. I'll explain afterward. Rob the Blob. And the reason why I say Rob the Blob is because I was watching The Breakfast Club last week, and like Charlamagne kept referring to Rob Kardashian as Rob the Blob the whole time. So every time I think of Rob, I think of how he was describing him, Rob the Blob. But I will say, like, it was funny, but like, honestly, like, I think Charlamagne needs to stop body shaming people. But then a lot of people were like, well, Rob Kardashian deserved it for what he did to Blac Chyna. So those are the three words that come to mind when I think of Kardashian.
I concur, and that's a good analysis. He does kind of look like Jabba the Hutt. Just a little bit. There's a resemblance there.
We'll watch the name calling.
Resembles Jabba the Hutt, who was a big star in Star Wars. No shame in the game. Just a similarity. Just, you know.
Just an observation.
I can already see that in this word game of Unscripted, none of you are sticking to the three words.
No, Rob the Blob.
Okay, fair enough. Asha Kardashian.
Business.
True.
Women.
Be careful.
Rule. That's all I'm going to say. Business women rule. That's
Black
all.
Culture vultures.
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, Kirsten, I like that. Magwood shooting the three, and it's good. All right. Personal life. Let's see. Where do we go here? The phrase will be New York City dating. Three words. Who wants to go first? Don't all jump to the mic at once.
Oh.
For those watching on Facebook Live, that I'm waiting for a response. It's interesting. No one's jumped to the mic yet.
Okay, so the first phrase that came to mind is, where they at, though? And I'm just saying, where they at, though? Oh, man, did I mess up?
Hold on. Even slang wise, is that three though?
That's four. Yeah. But I was gonna say
is one word.
See?
D-A-Y-A-T.
That's true.
Yeah, where at? That's only two words. Oh, though. So where they at, though?
And the reason being is
that
because.
That is only three words, actually.
See? Thank you. She worked it out for me. The reason being is because I would be happy if there were more of a bigger selection, I think, when it comes to, I preference Black men, and like, if there were more out there who were like naturally monogamous and like heading for marriage, I think that there would be a bigger selection for other women like me.
And that's why you say you're where they at, though.
Well, pretty much the new buzzword of New York City dating seems to be ethical non-monogamy, which might explain ethical where they at, though.
That's three words. Yep.
Ethical non-monogamy. I'm not really sure how ethical non-monogamy works. Not really my bag of wax, but that may explain where they at, though. But I would really say corrupted by options.
Ooh. I like that.
There is.
There's just too many options in New York City, honestly. You can date forever. Try settling down. Dating is easy in New York. Try leveling, just getting down to one good option.
From my marketing days, there is something to be said, and we talk about this just in the standpoint of like consumers, but if given sometimes too many options, folks, it makes hard to make a choice. So there is something to the psychology of sometimes if there's too much to choose from, folks may not choose at all.
Exactly. That principle is called the paradox of choice.
Yes. And let's see if you can pick, of all the words to choose from, what three words would you use to describe the phrase New York dating scene, Asha Davis?
I would say gets a bad rap.
That's four.
A bad is one word.
And what language?
A gitsa.
The words expressed here at Underdog Stuff are not necessarily those found in the Webster Dictionary, but if you go to UrbanDictionary.com, you will understand everything we've said so far.
And I expected Asha to come with like the swipe life.
Oh, because of Tinder?
Yeah. Because you're about the swipe life.
Yeah, Tinder in New York City to me is a lot more fun than it was in Toronto. That's just my two cents. Me not being from here, I don't necessarily have all of the, I'm only been living here for about a year and a half, and I don't think New York City dating is as bad as people think it is.
Nice.
Yeah. I do want to read a Facebook Live comment.
Please do.
Because we had one of our words of the day just a few moments ago being Kardashian. And Gareth, who's tuned in, says he didn't give three words. He just gave a comment. Watching anything to do with the Kardashians is like watching a tampon commercial. There's pretty girls having fun, but no one really cares about the content.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah.
pretty accurate.
He also says, "What's up, everybody?" So,
what's up, Gareth?
Yeah, we appreciate you and all the other dogs who've been coming along for the journey today on today's episode. Words with friends. So we're gonna take one quick break and then come back for the big close to the show. More Underdog Stuff after this break. Welcome back to Underdog Stuff live radio show and podcast. Live radio show every Sunday, podcast every Monday. And today's theme is Words with Friends, part one. And a friend of the show we had stopped by today who's still in studio with us, Selena Hill. Appreciate you. And we have, as always, in studio with us, the Underdog Stuff team, Asha Davis and Kirsten Magwood. Today's show, Words with Friends. A few closing thoughts about words. Language matters. You know, I think oftentimes we're told things that as you get a little older, they sounded good, but upon further review, they don't make sense. Like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You can put a cast on a broken bone. I've seen people live with, you're not smart enough, you'll never be anything, you're doomed, you're not beautiful. I've seen those things never get a cast and sometimes never heal. So I say that to say words actually do matter. And we get to be careful with our language. I've mentioned this before. And it's also why when Selena and I were talking, it's on purpose that I call her Media Mogul. Because she is. And the words that make it factual and not just hearsay is that she really does do stuff in media. And the word choice is she's at the start of her journey. And so I want us to oftentimes be mindful of things we say. A couple examples, phrases that I think you should just let go of. Yo, when we gonna get together? You know, one of these days. Language matters. Guess what? You can't find one of these days on a calendar. Language, when you start to really be tuned into this, you start listening to what you say and even what other people say. Another word to get rid of. So get rid of the phrase. We're talking about words and phrases. Let go of one of these days. Pick a date. And guess what? If you don't make the date, then recommit to a new one. But pick one. Another phrase to let go of. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true. they will hurt. Let go of it. Another phrase to let go of, or word, interested. One of my good friends, Curran, he's an author. And he was telling me a story about one of his friends called him up and was like, Curran, can you help me write this new book? I want to get started. You know how to do it. Like, we're friends. I know you'll help me because you're a good dude and we're close. And so he goes, because I'm interested in writing a book. Can you help me, Curran? He's like, nah. I don't help people who are interested in doing things. I help people who are committed. And it may seem like a subtlety, but start listening to yourself about things you're interested in and things that, like, no, I'm declaring and I'm committed to I'm going to write a book. And the reason why language matters is because in that scenario, which is maybe a bit extreme, but it's still true, Curran wasn't that into helping him because he didn't really see a sense of commitment. When you start telling people, like, what you declare to do, people start interacting with you differently. So if I tell Ash Cash, shout out to Ash Cash, host of the Ash Cash Show, which comes on Fridays here on WATR. When I told him a few years ago, I'm committed to getting into this media thing and launching my own show one day. Then he comes and sits me down, shows me his show, introduces me to people here at the station. Before, if I told him I'm thinking about, I kind of, sort of, you know, it's a little bit of a hobby. I'm interested in it. Well, then he doesn't interact with me the same way. Words matter. We get to be very careful with our language. So my offer to everybody is let go of interested. Let go of sticks and stones may break my bones. Let go of one day because it ain't on the calendar. And start to listen to yourself more carefully and others, because words and our language, they really, really matter. And that is my closing thoughts on today's topic of words with friends and phrases. And I'm calling it part one because I like this whole idea of words. So we'll probably bring this theme back maybe next week, but definitely sometime this summer. I want to give a special shout out to all the underdogs who listened live on air or online at WATR.org or on Facebook Live. As we wave to you, we appreciate you. Also to Kirsten Magwood, to Marlon and Asha Davis for holding it down in studio today. And our special guest, Selena Hill, in the building telling us about her journey as an underdog to being on top. And she is a media mogul that we get to meet at the start of her journey. With that, live show today on Sunday. Podcast will be available on Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Search Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith, and you'll be able to hear this show in its entirety available tomorrow. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. More Underdog Stuff next week. Peace. We're out. Thank you for listening to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith podcast. New content available every week. And I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody.